Last week we discussed who Satan is and how his kingdom operates. Some of the more prominent points we talked about were how demons are named and how they function. A demon is named by its nature or to how it behaves. If it's expressing itself through anger, we can rightly call it a spirit of anger. We also touched on the significant point that we enter into agreements with the devil when we listen to and obey his lies. Often these agreements come about because of demonic influence and deception. It's almost imperceivable how the demons can whisper into us. They whisper into our ear and we just go, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Completely forgetting what the Word of God says. The moment that we do that, we've made an agreement that the devil considers binding. We may not, but how we feel about it or not is immaterial. The devil considers those binding agreements. Once we agree with the lies, then we have opened the door to Satan's influence in our lives. That is what I want to talk to us about today. It's open doors to the devil's influence and how to close those doors. And I talk about, when I talk about influence, y'all, I'm not talking about possession. You get that? A Christian, a true Christian cannot be possessed by the devil. Our spirit is, we're bought and paid for by the Lord. But a Christian can be influenced, as we all know. So we're talking about influence today. We're talking about open doors that we've given the enemy, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, where the enemy has said, thank you very much, I'll come on in. But he's not possessing us. Possession means that we cannot choose on our own. We clearly can still make choices on our own. We're no longer slaves to sin. We've been set free. We're not robots either, nor are we zombies. The devil doesn't control us. We are still responsible for the actions we take. Possession would indicate someone that has no facilities whatsoever to resist the devil, or even possession would indicate that they are not owned of their own facilities, but they have given themselves over to the devil completely. So I wanted to make that clear. But before proceeding, we must remember that Satan's ultimate goal is to derail us from becoming all that God created us to be. Our calling and even destiny can be derailed through our agreements that we make with the devil via his agents of destruction. Those are demonic spirits. So to begin this message, I'd like to discuss again how our spirit, soul, and body are connected and point out the areas where Satan tends to focus his attention. If you missed my first mention of it, it is back in the first week when we first began this series. So let's begin today. First of all, we must understand that we are composed of three parts: a spirit, a soul, and our flesh. We're a three-part being. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." I want to underline "our." "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. The word for God in this verse, in verse 26, is Elohim. Most of us in here have heard this and even have studied it before, but it's good to have a little crash refresher course this morning. Elohim, one of the names of God, is a plural name, indicating that there is a pluralism within the Godhead. And we know this pluralism, we know this Godhead as the Trinity. Notice the indication of God when he says, "Make them in our image." And after our likeness, both creations of God, male and female, have a triune component to our being. We're comprised of three parts. As God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus the Son are three in one, So we are comprised of three elements, a spirit, a soul, and a body. This is important that you catch this because we're going to go back to the soul part of this time and time again during this series and this message. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We have an Old Testament reference there. Now we're going to look at the New Testament reference. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, sanctify you in wholeness, in totality. What is this totality? What is this wholeness? We find out next. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body, that's what he's talking about here. That's what Paul is blessing us to be sanctified in. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see both the Old Testament and the New Testament mentions that we are a triune being comprised of the spirit, soul, and body. So what are the functions of each? Well, our spirit is that part of us that communes with God. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it reads, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." When our spirit regenerates, we join with the spirit of the Lord. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, the consequences of that sin was that our spirit died, and so did our ability to perceive God's heart and will. We fell out of spiritual relationship with him because our spirits died. When we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God regenerates our dead spirit, and we become alive again to the things of God. You've heard the term, we are born again. He's a born again Christian. That's what it's referring to. Our once dead spirit has been regenerated by the Spirit of God, and we are now fully alive. We are, in the very literal sense, born again. The devil can't kill our spirit, nor can he take it back from God's possession. The Bible is clear on that. The Holy Spirit of God becomes one with our spirit. You ever wondered? I had a friend recently, well, not recently, in the past. He says, "I just don't understand the Bible. I read it and it doesn't make any sense to me." And then he gets saved. And then he says, "Ah, man, this is just meaty. This is so good. God is all over that." Like he's been given spiritual eyes to see. His spirit has been regenerated to see the spiritual things of God. Our Bible is a spiritual book given by a spiritual God to spiritual beings. That's us. To understand this Bible, we must be born again. That's why Hollywood can write movies. They can get their script directly from the Bible. Yet the stars that play and memorize the script and the people that make the movie are so far from God, it's inconceivable how they can play a Christian part yet be so far from God. Their spirit hasn't been regenerated. It's just an acting gig. It's words on a page. But for us who are seeking life, the pages of the Bible give us that life, their eternal life. So the Holy Spirit of God becomes one with our spirit. We can begin to perceive the will of God and commune with Him. From our spirit, we worship, we pray, we believe, we trust and have faith. These are things of the Spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well that God is seeking those who will worship Him in truth and spirit. He's referring to worship from the heart of someone who has been regenerated, that has had their spirit regenerated. Our soul. Our soul is often referred to as the place where our subconscious resides and where our personality develops. It also contains our mind, our will, and our emotions. In scriptures, the soul and the spirit are often used interchangeably and are even tied together and make up what the scriptures call the heart. A lot of times scripture will speak, "The who knows the heart of a man?" Our heart in scripture includes both our soul and our spirit tied together because it includes our will. It's talking about our will. but they are distinct as well. Just like the Trinity. They each have their role and their function. So is our complete being. Our body is the shell that houses both our spirit and soul. It is the part of us that touches the outside world through our senses of sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste. All three work in conjunction with one another, yet have distinct roles. What affects one affects all. Do we have the picture of that? You see, the spirit is at the center of the soul and the soul at the center of the flesh, but they're still all one. When something comes and affects our spirit, it also affects our soul and our body. When something affects our soul, it affects our spirit and body, and likewise, something that can affect our flesh can affect our soul and spirit. I want to leave that picture up there for a little bit as we talk about the soul. You notice here that the soul is also the middle ground, and that has significance, as we'll learn here in just a second. So what part of our body does the devil seek to influence the most? Well, if you think about this for a second, it'll make sense. Please remember that we're not talking about salvation again. We are not talking about salvation. We're talking about demonic influence in our life that can affect our destiny, can derail God's purpose for our life. We can still be saved, but be living a life nowhere near what God has purposed for us. And that's a tragedy, because God has an amazing life for each of us. Each of us sitting here, God has a plan and a purpose for our future. Amazing, to accomplish amazing things. But the devil has come in to some of us. He's kind of set up camp. He hasn't possessed us, but he's derailed us from our destiny. And that is the purpose of this series, to reclaim our freedom to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. So what part of our body does the devil attack that causes us to steer off course or even not get on course? Well, usually it's the soul. Our soul is important. If you are born again, think of your soul as a piece of real estate that God now owns, but we merely steward. We yield ownership to God. We accept the responsibility to see that it continues to grow in godliness and holiness with the help of the Holy Spirit. I remind you that the soul, again, is where our mind, our will, and our emotions reside. Our soul is where our mind, our will, and our emotions reside. So obviously the devil, when we talk about the devil attacking our mind and putting thoughts into our mind, it's really the soul area that's being impacted by him, that he's shooting those flaming darts. I know it's our brain, but our brain is, the material brain is connected to our soul, as is our heart. It's where our thought life exists, our soul, and from where we make choices based on what our thought life processes. That's why it's so important to guard what we allow in our mind. So this piece of real estate is valuable. When I was in real estate, often if I heard time and time again, well, we would like to live in a place that's centrally located. Who's heard that before? It's what they were telling me is they wanted to be close to shopping. They want to be close to their church if they were religious. They want to be close to the schools, close to the parks, to be centrally located. And the homes and the areas that were centrally located tended to be the most valuable as well. It's the same with our soul. Our soul is that piece of real estate that's centrally located. You can see it's in the middle. It's between our spirit and it's between our flesh. The devil seeks to control that soul area so he can more easily affect our flesh and our spirit. Again, they are one. They are one. They operate within each other. So as you affect one, you affect all three of them. When the devil occupies this land, he can attack the flesh and he can attack the spirit more easily. Our soul is truly like a valuable piece of real estate. You turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to be, if you can jump down to verse 25, Ephesians 4, verse 25. Paul is talking to the Ephesians here. They're in a city of Ephesus. Ephesus was an exceedingly wicked city. There was rampant demon worship in Ephesus. So people were battling all kinds of demonic influence, not only outside of the church, but inside the church as well. They hadn't completely broke free from Satan's influence. And the book of Ephesians, what I really love about the book of Ephesians, it really it begins to talk about the principalities and where our battle truly is. So we'll look at chapter 4, verse 25 here. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Interesting. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And then verse 27, nor give place to the devil. The word for place in the Greek is topos. We get our word topography from this word. It means an area of land zoned and ready to be inhabited. It also has a secondary meaning of a sheath of a knife. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? We allow a place of influence in our being that is the sheath of a knife. What does the devil come in to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Kind of interesting. When we listen to a lie from the enemy and act upon it, or when we flat out rebel against God's teaching, we give the devil a little piece of real estate in our soul on which to set up camp. If he's allowed to camp there long enough, he'll begin to build a stronghold that affects and influences not only our mind, our will, and emotions, but can also affect our spirit and even our flesh. Further, if he's allowed to remain, he can affect our physical well-being by manifesting sickness and disease. Been proven time and time again. Those who work in that type of ministry, they go, absolutely, that's how it works. Think about the converse of that, though. Because the converse is also true. Sometimes we have a malady, something in our physical flesh that's manifesting itself. We can know the demonic presence behind that that's causing that. It's like our body gives us a clue of what the spiritual problem is. Not in every case, but certainly in many cases. For those of you who have studied this before, it's known as a spiritual roots, and it's absolutely true. And those that have worked in that ministry say, hey, I can meet somebody that has a certain sickness, and within 5 minutes, I'll know exactly what the spiritual root is behind that. And once they begin to deal with the spiritual root, the spiritual place of that, suddenly their body heals and gets well. You see, our body is incredibly adapt. Our bodies are created by the living God to regenerate, to be healthy. We live in a fallen world, and yes, we're all dying. Do I want to go there this morning? Honey, do I want to go there this morning? No? Okay. We are going to talk about this in a couple upcoming messages. But I do want to let you know that Satan can affect our health. And I think we're all aware of how he can do that. But we're not going to directly get on that this morning. So further, if he's allowed to remain, it's not good. We've got to throw our trespassers out. He's on land that he doesn't own. He's got no business being there. And as soon as we tell him he has to go, he has to go. So what are some of the open doors? Well, before we talk about that, I do want to say that Satan just doesn't barge in to say, hey, I'm taking over. He doesn't do that. He's sneaky. He comes in, and he comes in through an open door or a window, and that's how he sets up camp. Are any of you familiar with bed bugs? Anybody have bed bugs in their home right now? Just raise your hand. We're not coming over to your house anytime soon. Bed bugs are from the devil himself. Alright? They're the most vile and evil things. I don't even know why God created them. Maybe he didn't. Maybe they were just in hell and found a way out. Bed bugs come in, if you've ever read about them, and if you've ever had them, I guarantee you've read about them, because you want to know, how can I get rid of these things? But they're a problem. So bed bugs, they hide. They hide under seams of mattresses and behind your headboard, sometimes down in your baseboards. They hide there until the lights go out. You go to sleep. And then they crawl out from under their hiding, and they begin to nibble on you, Susie. You don't feel them, but you wake up in the morning and go, by golly, what is this weird little thing on me? Keeps happening. You wake up, you got some more little things. That is so weird. Man. And as long as the bed bugs remain unbothered, unexposed, they're going to continue to come out every night and get a little piece of skin, a little piece of blood. You know, they start out white. They start out translucent. And as they feed on your blood, that's when they start turning brown and red, and they start getting bigger. If left long enough, I know all y'all have just been wanting to know this. See what you get? If left unbothered long enough, they're just like, nothing's going to happen. We're good. This is our home. This host here doesn't mind if we come out at night and feed on them. They come out and they'll start coming out even when the light is on. They don't care anymore. Their whole family comes out and starts running around headboards and on your wall. You're like, this is incredible. What is this weird little bug? And then you do your research and go, oh, it's a bed bug. By the time it gets to that point, you need to be calling an exterminator and call up some relatives to throw all your stuff out in the backyard, because it's done. And throw all your clothes in the dryer and kill these bed bugs. The point being, okay, there is a spiritual point to this. The devil is like this. If he's allowed to remain long enough in our lives, sucking our blood, sucking our blood. No, if he's allowed to remain there long enough, he begins to set up camp. And he begins to claim the host as his. Well, this is my house. I'm not going anywhere. And then he just comes out in the open. By the time it comes out in the open and there's a stronghold, it's time to get some serious spiritual exterminators in our house. I want to talk about a few of the open doors that the bed bug known as Satan can come into our lives. And just for the sake of time, I'm only going to talk about a couple of these this morning. Really, there's quite a lengthy message today, but we're going to split it up between today and next week. I'm going to talk about open doors. How does the enemy come in? You guys with me? Everybody awake now? Everybody loves a good story, especially about bed bugs. The first open door that Satan uses to come into people's lives is involvement with the occult. In Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12, we have it on the screen. I'll just have you just kind of look at the words for a second. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a witch, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. They are abominations because they have their roots in idolatry and are tied directly to the devil. It is a violation of the First Amendment, the First Commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's serious business. This open door, besides participating with outright witchcraft and sorcery, would also include secret organizations that pledge their loyalty to someone or something who is not the God of the Bible. Willful tampering with the occult is a surefire way to invite the presence of demons into the soul, where they will wreck relationships, spawn mental disorders, psychosis, and especially create resistance to the things of God. Also things like Ouija boards, horoscopes, tarot cards are not games. Though you may think they're fun, they're serious business with the devil. They open a door. They open a door to the enemy and will block our relationship with God. Let me tell you now, the enemy cannot impede the Holy Spirit, but he can convince us that we don't need God, that we don't need to go to church, as well as keep us away from potential contact with the Word of God or those who are walking in the power of God. By the way, witchcraft in the Bible is also referred to by the Greek name pharmakia. We get our English word pharmacy from this, and it denotes drug use. Drug use is equal to witchcraft in the Bible. It is a door to satanic bondage. Could it be the legalization of marijuana in our nation, state by state, has to do with Satan's plan to open up doors of demonic influence? Let's get people into bondage. Let's get strongholds going. Let's get them walking, believing lies. Man, do we not see that in our media? People are believing all kinds of lies. As he begins to legalize drugs, and guys, it doesn't stop with pot. Pot's just a gateway drug. Soon, it'll be all the drugs open up. And I'm not a like, oh, the sky is falling type of guy. I'm telling you, it's Satan's plan to pull people into bondage. He's always done this. He doesn't change. The second open door is unforgiveness. Matthew 18:21-35. We read this last week. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. One of the surest ways to invite demonic activity into our life is through unforgiveness. There are countless stories of those who have been tormented by demonic activity in their life because they simply refuse to forgive someone. This sin also leads to an even more powerful demonic influence, such as bitterness, anger, resentment, and murder. We've talked about unforgiveness in here before, so I'm just going to go to the third one for today. We'll have some more next week. The third one is willful disobedience. This is an open door for the enemy. In Romans 6:16, it reads, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" If we are not a bondservant of Christ, then we are a slave to not only the author of sin, but the enemy himself. If we are willfully disobedient to Christ, we open the door to the devil's rulership and his legal right to take up residence in an area of our soul. Let me talk about willful disobedience. We'll end here today. Willful disobedience is anything that is directly opposed to God's instructions. One of the big areas of willful disobedience in our culture, and even church culture, is sexual disobedience. Sexual promiscuity is a major door for demonic influence to occur. The Bible says that when two people are joined together in intimate relations, they become one, uniting their flesh and by default, their souls. In matrimony, this is a wonderful thing. Zach, you paying attention? You see, I want to prepare him for the world. He doesn't learn it from his dad or his mom. He's going to learn it from the guys on the baseball team. But he's not going to learn the truth of the word. He's going to learn a lie from the enemy. In marriage, intimate relations is a wonderful thing. Outside of marriage, it is not good because we become one with whoever that other soul was united with, and so on. Meaning, was the other person joined with a spirit of death? Was the other person joined with a spirit of a cult, of perverseness, of drugs, of alcohol, etc.? If we have sexual relations with someone who is not our spouse, we begin to share in whatever was united with the other person's soul and flesh. Through this act, Satan corrupts souls and gains footholds. The world says, what does it hurt? Can't two people who love each other or at least have strong feelings towards each other express it bodily? Sounds logical, doesn't it? If it feels good. That is the enemy appealing to worldly logic within the mind, which is found in our soul. God says, yes, intimate relations are awesome. I designed it to be great, he says. But wait until you're married. It's a symbol of Jesus and the bride coming together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why sexual promiscuity and perversity is so rampant in our country. Not only is it joining people that have joined people, bringing countless people under bondage, but it mocks God to his face. Jesus has designed the church to be pure, to get herself ready for the groom. And when he comes, we are united with him. And the devil gets people out of marriage, having relations with each other. It's a direct slap into the face of God. It's not how God designed us to operate and to work. You won't hear this in a lot of churches. They just don't talk about it. But if we don't talk about it, we're going to hear the wrong thing out in the world. Be deceived by the things we see on our TV. I guarantee our TV are not preaching truth. Preaching deceit. God is not a fuddy-duddy. We've heard that word in here before with the missionaries. God is not a fuddy-duddy. God created us to have sex within the marriage bed, within two married people, and it honors God when we honor that covenant. Before we're married, that's not the right way. God doesn't do that just so that we don't have fun. Well, everybody else is doing it. You just don't want me to have fun. That's not true at all. God does it for our protection. If we're uniting our soul with somebody who's united their soul, with someone who's united their soul, let's just say they have a completely whacked out ancestry that is full of Satan worship. And it's just passed down. And we unite with that soul. Man, we've just united with all those people. God does it for our protection. Not because he doesn't want us to have fun. Young people, man, I encourage you to wait. Man, it's such a great reward to wait for your spouse before you have relations. And if you've already messed up, hey, join the club. Everybody's messed up in here, something or another. But determine this day you're going to be living for God and living for his word and what he tells us. To repent. God will grant forgiveness. Another rebellious act that opens the door to demonic can be alcohol. Now, before you get up and storm out, it depends on the amount and to the extent used. The Bible says that wine can be helpful for digestion. I personally don't see anything wrong as long as it doesn't control you. As long as we don't give our mind over to it. Because once we do that, we give over control of our mind to the spirit of alcohol. we are giving over control of our mind to the enemy. The Bible says that we are to be in control of our mind and our facilities. When we lose our mind, we can't resist the things of the devil, and it just comes on in. Regarding alcohol, if you do drink alcohol occasionally in here, just be mindful of those you're around. If somebody is seeking the Lord and it can stumble them, you know, maybe it's best not to. Or if they've been an alcoholic before and you're drinking in front of them, man, maybe it's best not to. Use wisdom and common sense. That shows that you love that person by not insisting on your right. The Bible says all things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. Well, next week, we're gonna dig into some more of these open doors. I want you to look at your bulletin if you have it. Look on the back page. Actually, it's inside this week. I want you to take this home with you. If you have a spouse or if you have a significant other, I want you to get out this. One person read it and the other person repeat it. Praying it from your heart. If you've messed up in any of these areas that we've just talked about, we just talked about three, we'll probably be discussing six more next week. We've all messed up. We've all let the devil come in, let a bed bug crawl behind our headboard. God says, repent. God says, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. I want to heal you. God doesn't want any of us walking around in bondage. No matter what we've done, whether consciously or unconsciously, God wants us healed and walking in freedom. So with that said, everybody stand up. And I'm going to have you repeat after me this morning. If one of those three open doors that we've talked about this morning, they pertain to you and your past, but maybe you've never dealt with it head on, we're going to deal with it head on this morning. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. We're going to do it again next week. But maybe there's something else. It's a secret that you've been carrying. Only you and God know what that is. But you're ashamed. And maybe you've come to God and asked forgiveness before, but you still carry around the weight of shame and guilt. That's not you. That's a signal that Satan's messing with you, because that's not what the Word of God says. It's a lie you're believing. So we're going to do some warfare. When we began this series, I said, this series, we're going to teach you how to fight, how to be warriors. We're going to begin this morning, and we're going to get some freedom. Amen. So everybody repeat this after me. Father, I take back the ground I gave to the devil, and by faith put it under the blood of Jesus, my Savior. I come to you now as my deliverer from Satan's kingdom of darkness and his dominion of bondage with all its miseries. I claim the promise of your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and set free. Well, I call upon you now. And now we're going to get a little angry at the devil. Satan, I command you, all enemies of Jesus Christ, under your charge and all of your focused influence on me, to leave now. I bring the power of the blood of Jesus Christ against you and them. Depart and go to where the Lord God Almighty commands you to go. by the voice of His Spirit and the voice of His servant. I have chosen to take back all the ground given to you in the past. I have removed your footholds by confession, repentance, and verbal rebuke. The opportunities given to you have been eliminated. Therefore, you have no right to harass my life. I claim the power over Satan, demonstrated by my Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Get away from me and be gone. I have authority over you through the power of the resurrection. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. As it says in 1 John 3:8. Therefore, your works are destroyed in my life. And now we pray this, the prayer of thanksgiving to God. For my victory, I give you honor, praise, and thanks. You are a faithful and amazingly awesome God. I am so grateful for what you have done for me today. I am free, and I praise your holy name. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That is a prayer of freedom. I'm not joking when I want to encourage you to practice these with your spouse or significant other, even your children. We are cleaning house. We're pulling back the headboards. We're looking under the mattresses. We're turning on the light. We've got the bug spray of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And we're exterminating these bugs that have been hidden for too long. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week.